Connecticut is a state with a population of approximately 3.5 million people and is made up of a mix of urban, suburban, and rural areas. For chlamydia and gonorrhea, Connecticut is considered a moderate prevalence area, with incidence of the two diseases being 312 per 100,000 and 74.4 per 100,000 for chlamydia and gonorrhea respectively in 2006. Although Connecticut is a small state, we have limited resources to address the burden of disease. In this setting, it is important to focus resources on the population with the highest burden of disease. Core groups are groups of persons that are responsible for a substantial proportion of infections in a particular area. These groups act as a reservoir of infection and contribute to sustained transmission of the disease. Behavioral and geographic core groups have been described for both chlamydia and gonorrhea and include commercial sex workers, persons with repeat infections, and persons living in high-incidence urban areas. Geographic Information Systems, or GIS, is a generic term that describes a system that allows for the analyzing and displaying of geographically referenced data. This technology has been increasingly used in public health investigations and sexually transmitted disease epidemiology. GIS has been used to identify core groups and analyze sexual relationships. While GIS technology has been available at the Connecticut Department of Health for several years, it has not been extensively applied to sexually transmitted diseases. In this study, we applied GIS technology to chlamydia and gonorrhea surveillance data. The first goal was to determine if there is significant geographic clustering of these infections in Connecticut. Additionally, we thought it would be interesting to look at those persons reported as having simultaneous infection with chlamydia and gonorrhea. The goal was to determine if there would be clustering of persons with simultaneous infections, and if the clustering pattern would be similar to those with single or repeat infections. All of the chlamydia and gonorrhea infections reported to the State Health Department in 2004 were included in this analysis. Infections were divided into five groups overall: single infection with chlamydia, single infection with gonorrhea, repeat infection with chlamydia, repeat infection with gonorrhea, and simultaneous infection with chlamydia and gonorrhea, also referred to as dual infection. A repeat infection was defined as an infection occurring 14 or more days after the first. The addresses for affected persons were then assigned geographic coordinates. This is a process known as geocoding. Using these coordinates, a census tract was matched to each person, which allowed the placement of each infected person on a map of the state of Connecticut. Using the census tract as a unit of analysis, a spatial scan statistic was applied to each group to determine if there were significant geographic clusters. SatScan is software that uses scan statistics in different models to determine significant clusters. The Poisson model, which determines clusters by rate of disease, was applied in this analysis. A significant cluster was defined as one or more census tracts where the relative risk of disease was significantly higher than expected. This software can detect the most likely cluster and secondary clusters. The most likely cluster is defined as the cluster with the largest likelihood ratio. For the initial analysis, only the most likely cluster was considered. This flowchart shows all of the gonorrhea and chlamydia infections reported in 2004 to the Connecticut Department of Public Health. A total of 12,486 infections were reported in nearly 10,000 persons. 77% of infections were chlamydia infections. Cases were excluded for a diagnosis date not in 2004, duplicate reports, and those with missing or incomplete addresses. The addresses were then geocoded, and those infections with addresses that were unable to be geocoded were also excluded. This process resulted in the final numbers of infections and persons for each group. In all, approximately 80% of reported infections were geocoded and included in the final analysis. A statistically significant cluster was found for each diagnosis group. This chart shows the characteristics of each cluster, including the number of census tracts, the number of affected towns, the actual and expected number of persons, and the subsequent relative risk and p-value. The number of census tracts involved in each cluster ranged from 39 to 48. The number of affected towns ranged from 3 to 5. Now I will show you each of these clusters displayed on a map of Connecticut census tracts. This is a map of the census tracts in Connecticut with the cluster identified for the single chlamydia infection group highlighted in black. This cluster is centered in a large urban town located in the central part of the state, but also includes parts of four surrounding towns. This map shows the cluster identified for the chlamydia repeat infection group, also centered on the same urban town. The cluster for gonorrhea single infections is shown here, and is again located in the same part of the state as the two chlamydia clusters. This map of the cluster for the gonorrhea repeat infection group shows that it is located in the southwestern part of the state. This cluster is centered on a different urban town and includes part of two surrounding towns. This is the cluster identified for the dual infections group. This cluster is centered on the same urban town as both chlamydia groups and the gonorrhea single infection group, but appears to involve more of the immediately adjacent northern town. As I mentioned before, these maps only show the most likely cluster. Secondary clusters can also be detected, as they were in this case. This map shows both the most likely and secondary clusters for the dual group. In addition to the most likely cluster, the two secondary clusters are centered on three other urban towns in the state. This very large cluster along the southwestern coast involves two urban towns and 13 additional surrounding towns. When we considered the secondary clusters for the other diagnosis groups, the dual groups clusters seem to mirror most closely the clusters of the gonorrhea single infection group shown here. To our knowledge, this is one of the first analyses of geographic clustering of gonorrhea and chlamydia done for an entire state. We also believe that this is one of the first geographic analyses done that looks specifically at dual infections. Importantly, we found that the most likely cluster for the dual group was similar to all other groups except for gonorrhea repeaters. Do these geographic clusters represent core groups of transmission? Considering only the most likely clusters, approximately 20% of all infections were part of a significant cluster and involved just 8% of the state population. Although this analysis was done using the census tract as a unit of analysis, it is important to look at this data at the town level, especially when resources are considered. In all, 9 of 169 towns were part of at least one cluster, with 3 towns being a part of 4 clusters. This data indicates that there could be geographic core groups of chlamydia and gonorrhea in Connecticut. There were several limitations to this analysis. First, only one calendar year of infections were assessed. It is possible these clusters would be different if data for multiple years were included. Second, we chose to define clusters geographically in this analysis. The size and location of clusters might have been different if we had used the date of diagnosis as well. Third, for dual infections, it is possible that simultaneous screening might not be uniform statewide, also affecting the location of various clusters. Finally, definitions for the diagnosis groups were not mutually exclusive, which might have affected the location of clusters. In conclusion, statistically significant geographic clusters for chlamydia and gonorrhea do exist in Connecticut and might represent core groups of transmission. Additionally, the simultaneous infection group might represent a new type of core group. There are several next steps related to this analysis. First, more work needs to be done to determine the reasons for the differences between the clusters. We are also exploring the best way to target resources to cluster towns. This data will be presented to stakeholders in the urban town involved in 4 of the 5 clusters to start addressing these issues. I would like to thank the people shown here, in particular my co-author Linda Nicolai, for their assistance with this analysis. Thank you.
We do have time for questions if there are questions.
I was wondering whether the cluster analysis shows the results of the town, highlights by thinking about the effect of the traditional
So the question was if the clusters highlight kind of where usual high rates of disease are, and they certainly do. What was very interesting was what we called an urban town was a town with at least 100,000 people. There's only five of those towns that meet that criteria in Connecticut. In particular, so four towns were affected or involved with at least either a secondary or most likely cluster. One of these urban towns was not. And so that was in particular interesting to us to kind of look at why that particular urban town might be different than those other towns and not be part of a cluster. So that's not something that I showed here, but that's something that we noticed when we looked at that. So certainly it definitely affected high incidence urban areas, but not all of them. Right, so the program that we use, SatScan, does account for that. So in this particular model, it looks at rates of disease per the population. So we did use 2004 population estimates in that analysis. Yep. Right, so there was kind of two levels for that. The first level was, you know, just looking at what addresses we had and how complete they were. We weren't, because we were trying to get down to the census tract level, zip code wasn't going to be adequate enough for us to do that. And so even if we had a zip code, but we didn't have the rest of the address, we actually didn't use that. More of the time, it was that we had a town, but we didn't have anything else. And so unfortunately, as a result, that we were really unable to do that. And so, in I think regards to your first question about how we went about doing this, the first step was just looking at our data and seeing how good the addresses were. So that unfortunately was a very time consuming process and why you're looking at 2004 data and not later data. And most of the exclusion happened in that process, just whether it was a good enough address. And then when we got to the actual geocoding part, we lost some more, but not as much. So in the end, the fact that we were able to actually have 80% of reported infections included in the analysis, we were pretty happy with that.
Just a question. Yeah. When you were planning to go to the community with these data, what sort of meeting, or do you have a group, a community group that is actually active on these issues?
Right, well, there happens to be a chlamydia task force in that urban town that seems to be most affected, and they had already kind of started looking at geocoding their own data, and I said, oh, well, by the way, we already did this, so I can definitely share that with you. And so it's kind of nice that we already have kind of a group that's in tune to these issues, and hopefully we'll be able to use some of that. And, you know, probably the next step for them is to actually be able to focus more on the town and see if there's certain areas of the town that more of their resources could be focused. Right. Yes. Curious about why I'm not mentioning it, or what? It kind of doesn't matter. I mean, it's more just it's. I guess I could, but in Connecticut in particular, they're very sensitive to those issues, especially with geocoding and things like that. And so, we just chose not to do that here. All right, thank you.